This is the Climb to Space.
Hello and welcome to the Decline to State Internet Radio Stream, the show in which we get together to discuss the ups and downs of life outside the Matrix. Decline to State is proud to bring you one of the surprisingly few netcasts in which the hosts do not support acts of aggression against you. Though Aniran would like us to add the caveat that, okay, property rights are kind of aggression, technically. You can find us at the web at declinefm.com, where you will find a link to the live chat. And today we plan on having a fun recap with absolutely every single DTS person willing and able to get down here and join us, and we'll tell you why all the commotion in just a moment. I'm host Ronald McPaul, still your beacon of freedom in the heart of the Silicon Valley, and I'm joined by my handsome and at least one lovely co-casters, and I'll let them go around the horn and introduce themselves.
Hi guys, this is Eternal, the Beast from the East.
This is Toast.
So many people, it's awesome.
My mistake. You guys, you're like, oh, okay. All right, this is Kwashiorkor.
This is the Great Roto, or for some people, just Roto.
And I'm Shiny.
Shiny, you were wearing that awesome shirt still. We had a just also in celebration of the anniversary, and that's what it is today. We had a little meetup yesterday too, and Shiny had the most awesome shirt with all her organs showing, and they were all smiling. So today, just like every Wednesday, Decline to State is celebrating. But today, it's with slightly more reason because Decline to State turns 1 year old. And she's not legal yet, but that doesn't stop her from partying.
It's getting there. That doesn't stop libertarians.
Exactly. Drink and et cetera. And on the plan for today, I think just the fact that we're able to get everybody together is just a testament to the human spirit after 1 year and now counting. We had some ideas for going over stories, how we made it, how we survived, how living in Somalia has been for the last years. But I do want to say one thing. After a year, voluntarism doesn't seem so lonely anymore.
It is nice to be able to come here every week, or usually every week, and just... you know, basically shoot the shit with a bunch of like-minded people.
Discuss the ups and downs of living outside the Matrix.
Yeah. Oh yeah. we've a lot of us have met in real life. We're further connected into the internet community that we used to only be a application in our pocket. David Friedman pointed out the fact that increasingly more interaction happens on the internet, and therefore it no longer matters where you are, and that's just an awkward thought, but it's true.
It is really true. We are spread all across the United States and have even had some people from Upside Down Land back in our earlier days who have not been joining us recently. But, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's harder. It's harder for them. Just the time changes. That's one thing that's been an experience is finding a day or a time that works. I mean, just the logistics from the initial part of things. We had a show on Wednesday and Sunday. Sunday allowed Super Nintendo Chalmers, or just Super Nintendo, to get on, and he was speaking to us from the future, always, which was always awkward.
I think it's reassuring, because then we know that the world isn't going to end.
Yes, you never know if the sun's going to come up tomorrow unless you've talked to Ken. Then you know.
But that means when Nintendo doesn't check in, it means I have to go into panic mode.
Yeah, but we're always in panic mode as anarchists anyways, right? No, actually, that's another thing that's been good for the show is you have this malaise of anxiety of being, I'm outside the Matrix. This is horrible. The anxiety, nobody else sees it. Just me. I'm by myself. No, we have all our friends. And it's lovely that so many of us are here now. Some of us, not everyone's alive and kicking. Rutto, I don't know if this is on the show worthy, but you said Zom might not be doing so good right now. What's happened with that guy?
Well, Zom can't join us because he's been having some issues of personal nature. And I miss him because, you know, he was fun.
He was a contributor indeed. And he's always a firecracker. I think there's no people more attention grabbing on an internet forum than you and Zom. I'm not going to say who's first, but you guys are the top two.
many entertaining days on Reddit were had reading all your posts. It's fun to just go through your post history and just look at random things, actually, because it's always entertaining.
I have a little something to add to that, actually. Everybody that's listening to this needs to do themselves a favor right now. Go to reddit.com/u/throwaway-o, and since now you're listening to the cast and you know exactly what Roto sounds like, now you need to read all of his posts in the Ecuadorian accent. It's going to improve the quality of your life. Just trust me. Like, it's so entertaining.
That's the only way I maintain my sanity is by that. It's a cathartic process before going to bed.
When I'm feeling down, I just remember what Roto sounds like, and my day is bright and shiny.
Hell yeah.
I don't know what I expected you to sound like when I first read that. I don't know what any of us did. We're just like, first of all, who is that awesome? And second of all, who uses the word interlocutor that much?
Your interlocutor, of course.
Yeah, I was maybe like, that was where the joke came out of. That's why we even have it in the outro, I think, is that you, it's monocles and bow ties, and you must have been wearing both in all of our mind's eyes.
I can confirm that he actually does wear a monocle in real life sometimes. I gave him one.
Which eye?
Correct.
Is it a monocle on one eye and an eye patch on the other?
Yes.
Yes. As long as there are no follow-up questions, yes,
he does.
Those are
classy pirates.
Okay, actually, going forward, though, I mean, in all seriousness, I think Toast brings up a good point. That would almost be cool to have a Hall of Fame page. At least that was my idea for a little while. We have lots of ideas, a little bit less on the follow-through here on Decline Estate, but having a Reddit Hall of Fame where we just link, just to get an aggregate of all the Rutto tirades and all everything there. All the stuff.
Yeah, the blog.
That's true. I actually still want to get into reading some of the stuff that you've translated into Spanish just to practice my English.
Unfortunately, I don't get much time to translate most of the stuff that I write.
Yeah, that would be time consuming.
Yeah, it's just like double the effort, right?
What kind of stuff do you usually go after for translation? Just stuff that's of interest to the community or to yourself?
Stuff that I particularly find like a realization that I wasn't aware of before, and I wrote in English, I tend to translate into Spanish, something that is like important.
Right on. So that's actually another thing worth mentioning is Toast pointing out that everyone needs to go to Reddit user throwaway-o, but also Rutto.com has got a lot of good original content. Not everybody is aware that Rutto has his own page.
Thank you.
You can also hire his services if you want the most badass IT person to defend against your DDoS attacks. That's one of the many hurdles that Decline Estate has faced over the last year.
Hmm.
You can talk to me. I'm his manager. I do nothing except tell him what to do sometimes, and then I take a 40% cut.
That's awesome, isn't it?
So, Roto's...
You cut out for a second, Toast.
I think Shiny's the state.
Shiny's
that sounds like to me.
You know why I cut out? It's because Eternal and I are sharing the same mixer, actually, and that was some technical difficulty. I was saying that Roto was being exploited by Shiny.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's be honest, Roto. None of us white folk have a work ethic. We kind of needed to rely on Latin American folk to get things done.
This is exactly how typical businesses are run here in the first world.
America.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I love you people.
I have to say, you know, so, it's very interesting that I get to be exploited by Shiny because it's the first type of exploitation I've ever been part of that is actually voluntary. Can you believe that?
Voluntary exploitation?
Are you making me sound like a very poor dictator, huh?
the street cred is going to get ruined.
No, I'll back it up. I was hanging out with you guys this weekend, and she was a very stern and regal dictator.
Though she wears purple robes.
No, she had organs on her shirt, and they were all smiling. That was the hard part to like be intimidated from because her shirt was
the
so organs
of her enemies.
Yeah, yes. It could have been. They could have all been transplants.
I think I know what type of shirt you're talking about. It's like the one that has like the inside of the body and everything on mm-hmm. the front. Yeah,
I think, yeah, Shiny doesn't only sleeps like an hour a day, and then the other time she starts fight clubs and does organ transplants.
I do, yes.
Oh. All these secrets coming out.
Yeah, I almost wanted to bring up one thing, but it's not, I can't talk about where she works. That's not airworthy. That's a little bit too, that's where the state could really come after us.
I was afraid you were going to mention my performance at Just Dance.
Oh, that I'm definitely going to mention. Okay, so here's a great thing is you get together and you get a Decline Estate meetup or a volunteers meetup, whatever you want to call it. But it's, again, one great thing of Decline Estate over the last year has just been further developing the sense of community, get to hear the voices, and then now more recently interact with the lovely folks that make this netcast worth doing. I can speak English.
Worth doing. that was a year ago. We were worth doing.
Yeah. after like a year, maybe year three, I'll be able to pronounce words in my native language. But Shiny has a lot of mojo, like more than perhaps Austin Powers, more than the average person. That's the metric in the game Just Dance 4. And I pulled it out for the first time and I regret it a little bit because I was humiliated because she got the high score over me. Like pretty every time, I think.
I'm pretty sure that the level of humiliation incurred is not really at all dependent on the score.
I would have won, though, if it was, though, right? If it was humiliation.
Like, if you were scored based on humiliation? Congratulations, yeah. You have been humiliated times 1,000.
And then it's like, goes into Mortal Kombat mode, finish him!
You just kind of flop around there like a fish until someone pokes you, and then you fall over.
Well, the flop around like a fish is the dance.
Yeah, that's part of the game.
The game was actually pretty intense. They have dubstep
mode. I'm
kind
of sad that I'm on the East Coast now.
I know. Your guys' meetup was good, too. You and Toast. I mean, you were only there for the first one, but you guys, too, got to meet up, and you guys were saying that some of the folks there had listened to the show. They knew of you in advance. Your reputation preceded you.
For a reason, Thus Liberty was there, and he's joined us once, I think, or I don't know. He's been around.
Yeah, he's been on the show. He told us about his other venture.
Right. So, I wanted to just go and kind of reminisce a bit about like the old days and just kind of walk, because there's probably a lot of people listening right now that weren't around for cast number one, thank God.
But it exists in the archive still, and you're just encouraging them to do it is what you're doing.
Yeah, funny how those listeners from the old days aren't around anymore.
You know, sure, what, actually? Tortoise Dream, the illustrious and well-loved and very active Reddit user, who's going to hopefully join us soon because he wants to talk to us about physics and he knows he can school us. He said, well, you're right, Quash. He said he hasn't been listening too much recently, but he liked the old stuff. So go figure. He's like, you guys have always done a great job. And he came in when we still did calls, and him and Patrick Four Fives, even though he brought his asshole brother on. they have all been very encouraging and very friendly, and that's, I mean, for me, that's a huge reason why we still do this and why I get out of my alcohol-induced haze and get up out of bed in the morning. No, it's not that bad.
Those first casts, though, I mean, it was interesting, you know, getting, basically what we did is we just got everybody in a room together, kind of ran over some stuff, and we're like, okay, well, we have a server, we can broadcast to the internet next to Roto, and we have people with mics, so let's just start talking. And those casts went on for, like, what, 3 hours was, like, the first couple of them? We had no idea how long to time it.
We didn't have a time for it.
I feel like we just talked until we all passed out.
We have everything but content.
Yeah, we pretty much just, what was it? We like focused on news articles and stuff, and just instead of coming up with our own content, we just stole other people's content and read it, which is, you know, that's something.
Which is what writers for all Hollywood TV shows do.
Pretty much.
Just steal from Reddit.
Or all media.
Back then, every cast was Bitcoins. Wait, that hasn't changed at all.
Some things remain the same.
You know, I walked into the whole show thing thinking, like, you know what? I've spent the past 2 years. I know so much about Liberty. I know so much about, you know, ANCAP and volunteerism. And I can just talk about it and rant for hours and hours. No. Like, there's nothing like teaching and broadcasting to show you just how little you actually know. And then you realize that you need to specialize. And that's a lot of work.
Yeah, very well said. Very well said. I think a lot of the people who were there then but not there now kind of had the rude awakening that they got in front of the mic and they were talking, and then all of a sudden after a few sessions of that, and of course they were long sessions, they were like, I kind of running down. This is, maybe I want to do something else now. You do run out of stuff to talk about, like, you know, faster than you might think, especially with how much time you spend on Reddit and how many opinions we all have.
Well, you know, to be fair, you know, Toast has known me for a very, very long time, and you can attest that most of what I say, it doesn't mean anything. I just kind of say words, and there's no meaning attached to them.
But no one has more conviction than you, like, out of anyone ever. Like, it's like, everyone needs to realize this and this now, and this must be said. And you have one of those epiphanies every 10 seconds, and it's fantastic.
Well, you know, there are real thoughts happening behind his convulsive ramblings. So, you know, he occasionally does have things to offer. Belief.
Yeah.
Convulsive.
He gets stuff done. I mean, I gotta hand it to him. Is that was one of those things that I had stewing for a long time. It's like, oh my God, I would love to just spew ideas and interact and just ply people's brains and all this stuff. But and I could, you know, of course I'm sitting on my twiddling my thumbs, and then one day Eternal posts in all the major subs, he says, "Hey, I'm actually doing that thing." And I was like, oh my God, somebody who can actually hit the go button. Yes, let's talk to these folks.
I thought I would get like one person interested maybe, and it would just be kind of like a thing that, you know, maybe kind of half-ass produced on the side or something and produce some podcasts. I did not realize I would get 30 responses or something. I mean, like, it was just a flood of people.
Like immediately, in. Right?
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of like, back at that time, Reddit was like a really prolific poster. That was before the Against All Archons nonsense, which we will let's go talk about that later, because that's interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's not nonsense. It's still alive, and people post there. And most of the posts in Against All Archons happen to be super constructive. Super constructive. The signal to noise ratio is very good.
It is a good place to go.
Yeah, actually, recently, it seems like it's kind of like found its flavor, because like you've kind of came back to ANCAP, and like so people kind of like... Like, no, if kind of no, okay, like, they, it's understood that there's not really a dichotomy, they can both exist, and it kind of speaks to that. And yeah, there's been good posts recently and good stuff.
You mean not all the posts are, lol, Brodo started this subreddit because he self-exiled from our ANCAP?
Yeah, I like how his flair is still the same as it always was, is I'm the allegedly the Stalin of this subreddit. And then I think mine is like lyrics from Call Me Maybe still.
I don't even remember what my flair is. I don't know. I haven't modded or anything on that subreddit. No, I go there every now and then, but it's a quieter place. There's not drama because it's all people that kind of like exile.
Yeah, and there's no spanking for discipline.
Well, no. Other than voluntary spanking.
That's true. That is true. That's kind of hot. There's nothing wrong.
There's plenty of that, you know, especially between us. So just get that out there.
Just to kind of up our street cred. We're into S&M, this FYI, everybody. I'm sorry. Did you say that you didn't want to go into the whole Against All Archons stuff? We kind of.
I said we could do it later. Apparently, we're doing it now.
Yeah. It's kind of like when you say, don't think of a black cat, and then everybody thinks of it.
Now I'm thinking of black cats. Thanks, man.
Thanks. Thanks, Obama. Just so everybody knows, like, Shiny in real life, too, is very funny person. Like, I think in terms of just funny things said, like, throughout the day of hanging out, like, she had some of the top, like, few. There's some gems. What was the one you threw in a good, you only lived twice to something? Oh, we were getting random.
Well, my secret is that I just say this, like, constant flood of non-funny shit whenever I'm not around people, sort through it all, and then repeat things when I go see you guys. That was, like, the collection of all the funny things I've thought up since I heard there was going to be this meetup.
You just got it all out of your system.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what I do with Toast. You know, just say all this non-funny stuff all the time and then save it all for the radio.
And that's why he knows you so well, too.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy that it's been a year. I'm just thinking back, like, a year ago, I had just graduated college. I got out and it was, we still had this Ron Paul thing going on, and it looks like he was going to be out of the primary. And that was really, like, the event that kind of triggered me going out and starting this thing, because I was thinking, well, there's going to be a lot of disenfranchised people out there who are like, politics sucks, this is stupid, and we can go reach out to them. I had thought we would go and be a big force in the R Libertarian, so I'm really reach out to a lot of libertarian status and kind of pull them over the brink. instead, this has become almost more like a support group for anarcho-capitalists and other volunteers.
Well, we have to have a support group because, you know, when you're the victim, and I mean it in the most literal of ways, when you're the victim of so many people who hate you and want you to die, you kind of need someone to, you know, say, hey, it's all good. Don't worry about it. This asshole is obviously an asshole. And this is why I go to Reddit, and probably about 3 out of 10 comments that I write, I respond to someone who has already responded to a malevolent or corrupt person. And I say, well said. Like, well written, or yeah, because you know people who are writing important things that people need to read, right, and who are constantly being attacked for writing these things, they rarely, if ever, get you know someone who says you know what you're doing is a great job. And so I try and do that.
Just give them a pat on the back when the pat on the back is due, right?
Of course, yeah. I mean, that just makes a whole. See, I'm not sure if you guys have seen the video of the conformism experiments, where you know there's 5 people, and of course one of them is the subject of the experiment, and the other 4 are just Confederates, right? And so they're having. Apparently, this is like a learning test. This is the idea. Is that the Confederates pretend that they're on a learning test. And so there's a guy in the front who says, so which line is longer? And then he shows like 4 lines, and one is obviously longer, right?
It's like a very objective thing. Like there's no way to misinterpret it.
Correct. There's absolutely no discussion. It's obvious. And then all the 4 Confederates say, they just point out to the line on the right, not the line that was longer, but one of the lines that is short. And so the 5th person oftentimes, if not most of the time, conforms by saying, like, he looks at people and says, you know, he tries to figure out if there's any evidence that all 4 people are insane, everyone's acting normally, and so he concludes that he must be insane and his eyes must be lying to him, and he says, yeah, that short line is the longest one, right? So this happens because there's no one around. But the key insight that was discovered in this experiment is that if only one person on the Confederate side, right, if only one person expresses dissent and says, no, I think this is the longer line, then the person who's being, you know, the person who's being conned in this experiment is much more, like, much more likely to recognize the truth, to see it. So if someone's telling the truth and there's other people supporting it, that's a key point that will allow people to form their own opinions as opposed to just go with the herd.
And I think you've done that for a lot of people. You've done that for me. That's what I told Molyneux. I was like, I learn these ideas and they make sense to me. And I was like, but I need some, it definitely helped to have some person who kind of proved to me that the world would not fall apart. Like, it was possible to go ahead and articulate those ideas or say what you think out loud, and you know the world is not going to implode. You're not going to be carried off on and burned at the stake. It's you can actually do that. And I'm you guys took some flack for it, and you continue to, and it kind of can make going on the web a tire sometimes. And I've been through the ringer myself now, but I do think it actually serves that purpose that you stated, and it's you're able to back it up with science too. And shiny, by the way, that's why so many guys don't know how long their penises are, is because of that effect. No, definitely that one's longer for sure.
So they want to know if we're paying attention to the chat.
We don't have LDL Hill here today, and usually he's the best one for relaying what's going on. But just based on you bringing that up, I would say yes. Is there a question? Is there any words from it?
I'm in the chat right now.
Oh, okay. I didn't see a particular question. I think they were just kind of like testing us to see if we were paying attention.
All right, I'll jump in. Ask and you shall receive.
So now continuing where I was before, I don't know how. Let's see. I was talking about So starting up the show and getting a hold of everybody, and then you know I reached out to Rutto because he was such a prolific poster at the time, and we kind of got everybody together, and you know, half the people actually started responding and showing up, which is still pretty good. It was like what 15 plus people or something that was on my list at that time, and you know, we put this thing together and just all jumped in the room and basically said, hey, let's go and just start broadcasting whatever our thoughts are, and just kind of. We'll read some articles and do some things. And I took a really hands-off approach on just kind of let things, you know, see what felt natural and what worked. And it probably was one of the worst things I've ever listened to, because I actually went back and listened to some of it at the beginning. But it was at its own, I don't even know what it was. Almost like it's almost one of those cult classic movies. It's like Army of Darkness. It's like it's terrible, but it's awesome in its own way because there's just so much, so many gems. I mean, diamonds in the rough.
Especially when you like know the cast of characters better, you're like, oh my god, that's what that person was thinking, or that's what they were going with.
But yeah, it's interesting to see everybody's you know, initial personalities and everything. Is you're trying to figure out like, wait, who's who, and you know, I don't really know these people. How are we gonna mesh and get along together? And you know, of course, you dumped everybody in the room together, so we had like 8 people trying to talk over each other in that first cast, which was absolutely terrible. But those are some of the learning experiences, which I guess I look back on them pretty fondly. They were fun because I didn't think it would work. I legitimately walked in and was like, I have no idea if this is even going to work whatsoever. I'd never been part of a project that was supposed to actually like function long term. The only thing I had done previously that was something similar in the ELK is
a student organization, right?
Yeah, I started the college student organization, or restarted it rather. It had existed and it died, and I had contacted a guy from my school who is also a Redditor. I found him on Reddit, and we were like, hey, you know, do you want to start up this organization or something? And he was like, yeah, let's go do this. And I got a few more people, and we started it, and it was like 3 or 4 of us at the start, and it kind of grew. And I think now, at the end of this last year, they had as many as like 40 people or something. So that kind of took off on its own, and I hadn't been involved with it since I graduated. So that was kind of cool to hear.
Didn't you mention, too, in terms of the numbers of people in it, but also like the philosophy of people in there kind of shifted, too, like to more of a, say, an ANCAP, more voluntarist perspective?
I think that the longer you're in the group, the more voluntarist you get. I think that's definitely true. I mean, I was one of the more ANCAP people in there, but there were some other like straight up ANCAP people in that group as well. And I think over time we started persuading other people, and it was good times. A lot of beers were had, and that was a lot of fun. I kind of missed that camaraderie. So that was one of the things that I guess DTS has kind of filled that void. Is, you know, just get together every week and just talk about stuff and help each other progress in our way of thinking. And I certainly have in the last year, and I think everybody else has too.
You're here. Yeah, it's been fun. Those original ones were funny. I can just remember some of the times when it's like they were Sunday casts, and I'm like, you know, everybody else, I'm sure too, had no idea where this was going or how long it would keep going. I mean, you have to kind of pinch yourself when it's a year, but you're like, I'm waking up, you know, I'm on Pacific Status Time, and I'm, you know, get up at like 10 a.m. or 11, like of my precious weekend to like talk to random internet people I don't know. And like, it's just like rooms of people that we talk for endless amounts of time. And it's like circuitous conversations, and not that it's not circuitous now, but it's a little bit more focused, a little bit more clear for the listener. And yeah, they've been exactly like you said, the experience. I kind of think it's cringeworthy to think of to go listen and go back and listen. I've listened to some of them, and it's just there's nostalgia and a little bit of what?
I have a specific story to tell about that. My first few casts, I had no idea how I sounded on the air, and I was sort of, I was a bit sick to my stomach to think about like how I actually sounded, so I didn't go back and actually listen to myself until about 3 or 4 times in. And then I realized that every time I was pausing in the sentence, instead of just saying, or just waiting, I would say, I had this verbal tic, like where I would say, you know, between everything that I said. And
no, that was me. Yeah.
We know.
You were hearing me.
But you guys are having duet mic issues again, I think.
Oh, no. Are we?
Oh, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Just the tail end of what Toast was saying, I think, cut out. But yeah, we got most of the goodness.
Okay, you got all the you knows?
Oh, we got all the knows.
Because you know. You know.
No. Oh, man. Yeah, you really have to face the music there when you think of all your verbal tics and try to remove them. It's not easy. There we go. Toast did mention too, though, I think he looked at a study or something to that effect where they said that some things make the audience or make your listener or your, I should say, interlocutor more comfortable because it's a pause or something familiar or something to that effect.
Oh, I don't remember the exact study. This was a very long time ago, but it's supposed to be cultural that I think specifically with the you know verbal tic, it's actually much of an East Coast thing, especially Northeast US. And so I am indeed on the East Coast, probably picked it up from people around me. But I don't really know, you know?
What do you know?
What do you know?
Oh god, we're just gonna be doing that the whole rest of the cast.
You made us all self-conscious now.
You know, right after I realized that I had that verbal tic in general, what I did for the next week or so was whenever I was hanging out with Eternal, I would have him make fun of me severely every time I said, you know.
That's what they do on the best podcast in the universe, as they dub themselves, or we haven't had them on, but I forget what it's called. No Agenda is before doing this show with people. That was one show that I really got into. And I eventually got frustrated with, and I was like, there's got to be a better podcast where people are fully out of the Matrix. Maybe, I don't know if it exists. Maybe we can make one anyways, but that came out later. But one person's verbal tic, and he kind of self-admitted it or self-prescribed that he said that it was saying the fact of the matter. So they talk about something in the news and they say, the fact of the matter is, and then of course the soundboard would hit and they'd like, oh, you said it or whatever. I mean, he would just ridicule him and call him out. And it seemed like he was eventually over the course of episodes remove it, but it's not easy.
It isn't easy to do. And I hope that over the course of doing this, I've gotten better. I think everyone's gotten a little bit better, and it's going to be very helpful, you know, even 20, 30 years down the road. I can imagine doing this kind of presentation work all the time is so beneficial just to smoothing out your speech patterns and removing verbal tics and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing that's common among guys I know too is there's a tendency to speak really low or to not modulate your pitch and to kind of speak something like that. And when you're forced to communicate a lot, it ends up being counterproductive. You learn that only through trial and error that, okay, you have to speak, you have to modulate your tone. You know, there's information in there. You kind of convey things that way. And, you know, just open your mouth, speak clearly and loudly rather than kind of, murmuring things out, because otherwise you're going to have to repeat yourself. You're going to get, you know, weird looks. You're going to be less effective.
Don't be a low talker.
Yeah, don't do that.
Well, women actually have a particular verbal tic, especially young women. It's very common.
Oh my god!
Where every sentence sounds like a question.
Oh yeah, like the Swedish, the Norwegian thing.
And I would do this all the time, and I catch myself still doing it sometimes. I'll be talking to someone and like, hello?
That's awesome.
I'm shiny. Like everything with the upward inflection, and it sounds like you're not sure of anything. It sounds like you're looking for confirmation constantly about what you're saying.
Is that more of a West Coast thing?
I'm not sure. The only study I saw about it was said that it's far more common than young women, and I think that's true from what I've heard.
So I'll tell you. I grew up in a Jewish household around Jewish women, and young Jewish women have enormous egos and are not unsure about anything they're saying.
Awesome. And do they have the same speech pattern?
The one Shiny just described?
Yeah.
No, they're verbally dominant. Just, they're good at it.
No. No. The answer is no.
So you're saying I never should have given up my religion?
Oh, did you grow up as one of the people?
Oh my god.
I did, yes, the chosen people.
You guys are both shapeshifters.
Nice. We were chosen, right?
You're both shapeshifters.
May I remind you guys that she's still chosen people because I chose her.
I mean, reflection. Uh-huh. Oh, one thing that was heartwarming on the show we got to hear about, and this came out when we would do casts on the news and current events and stuff and all the tragedy and things, is Quash would share stuff about, you know, A, living in the heart of darkness, also known as the Michigan area, right? And also the fact that you do philanthropy. So there's a lot of lip service paid to, oh, we need to help people, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, again, we're meeting other anarchists around the nation, the continent, the globe. And we learned that we're not all monocle wearing people like Rutto, even though monocles are very nice and a fashion item, and it was a great gift from Shiny. But, you know, you would actually go out there and do philanthropy, and it was cool to hear about.
Yeah, and it was fun, and it was fun sharing it too. You know, I like telling people about it, and I want to encourage people to get out, and you know, I guess there's that there. I did that, you know, I just caught myself. But there's the Ayn Rand stereotype that we're all, you know, greedy capitalists who wanted to do our own thing. It was funny. I was on CivCraft. I've been playing the last couple of weeks and, you know, wasting time with that. The ANCAP started version of Minecraft. But I had an idea. They started a new version after the last debacle, which is a long story. But I had an idea. Well, wouldn't it be fun to start an objectivist society? And so I posted on our objectivist. I said, are there any Minecraft players out here? And I posted a thread in the CivCraft subreddit and said, what about an objectivist society? Wouldn't that be a hoot? And a lot of negative responses. Somebody posted and said, yeah, everybody would just like build their own house and not interact with anyone else. And you know, the stereotype of the Ayn Rand objectivist who just, you know, basically hates life and everybody and wants to just amass gold and treasure and not interact with anyone else. So the little things that I can do to change that stereotype, that's what I want to do.
So, there's also some intrinsic reward to it, too. I mean, you actually enjoy it as it happens.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I go down and take pictures sometimes in Detroit and have fun meeting up with people and seeing what's going on. And I get a feeling for what's going on in the community. I saw an article just a little while ago while we were talking before the show that said that the city of Detroit, of course, is in a lot of financial trouble, and they're talking about selling off a bunch of unused firehouses, which are beautiful structures. Unfortunately, a lot of them have been stripped already. But I sent it to my wife. I'm like, oh, we could buy one of these really cheap. Wouldn't it be fun? It'd be like Ghostbusters. You know, you'd have your own firehouse. You could fix it up. And it could be a center for anarchy in the city. We could go out and do anarchist things and help people and probably be preyed on by criminals. But, you know, it's an idea anyhow.
Well, we're all preyed on by criminals.
Yeah, especially the state.
Yep. Well, you know, you could do that, but are you ready to fight pink slime?
I will do it for Murray Rothbard.
Bill Murray Rothbard.
there's an image.
Could somebody do like one of those, like, if Murray Rothbard and Bill Murray had a kid, what would it look like?
I guess, you know, or we'll Photoshop the backpack on Murray Rothbard and show him going after status. How about that?
Yeah, sucking in like Paul Cartman or something.
That's great.
Pull the hair off of Ben Bernanke's face. That would be really funny.
So what I want to know is, of you guys who are on here right now, how many of you have asked friends or relatives to listen to the show, and what has been the reaction?
I have.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, first, my brother is an actual libertarian, like party libertarian from the days of yore, back when, like, you know, in the pre-Bob Barr era, I guess you might say. He was a Harry Brown libertarian, capital L. I don't know. I guess, I mean, he hasn't really talked to me too much about it, but I think I know he's listened in once or twice. I guess maybe he enjoyed it well enough, but didn't really want to bring it up. And I remember, I referred my aunt and uncle and grandmother to the show. They've said nothing. Oh, my uncle, I think, he's kind of like, he was a progressive, but like can't stand politics and kind of realizes that everybody's like, you know, kind of psychotic when they're in politics. So I thought, I don't know, maybe he would listen in, learn a thing or two, but I haven't really heard.
I don't know if any of my family's listened to it. They know I do it. I don't know if they've listened in, but you know, if they have, if you're listening now, hi, Mom. Look at me, I'm on the internet.
How about you, Rutto?
Well, what do you want to know?
Well, who is, have you gotten feedback from any, you know, friends or relatives who've listened? Like,
yes.
Okay.
I have a friend of mine who has listened to the show, and he seems to like it. And, well, because after he listened to the show, I convinced him to join us into to a meeting in a voluntarist meetup group that happened on the East Bay. And that was nice. We had a great time. And he's been looking forward to having another meeting like that. And he is a Republican, and he's slowly changing his mind.
Well, that's really cool. That's really cool. I my wife listened to a few episodes, but now on Wednesday she goes to bed at 9:30. So,
there
was train in the background there.
there's the train. Yep. But yeah, she wasn't her thing. There's a guy at work. Something came up where I'm like, oh, I can't tonight because I'm doing an online chat with some friends. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I didn't want to tell them because word gets around and people would just think it would just kind of weird. And maybe I've not felt good enough about either the guests who were on. I mean, it takes a fair amount of background for people. You know, who's this Jeffrey Tucker guy? What's he written? And I wouldn't even know where to start in some cases. So I guess it's not a general audience broadcast a lot of the time. You know, it's there I go again.
I think we've morphed into something a little more specialized. I agree with that. And that's not the way I originally thought the cast would be. Because when I originally put it together, I figured we'd be broadcasting out, maybe some like disenfranchised Republicans, status libertarians and stuff, and just kind of being a little more Liberty 101. And it turns out we did a hard 180, and we seem to be getting more and more specialized, talking about detailed things. We've had some really awesome guests, Anne from the Johnson Connor Center. That was a really cool cast. She just responded back, said she had a great time on the show. We finally got the podcast over to her a couple months ago, and we had I feel bad because I don't remember the guy's name. The guy from South America, the Bitcoin guy. What was his name?
Bitcoin or Gallo?
Yeah, that guy.
I don't remember. The South American guy from who? The dollar vigilante?
Not him. It was the guy who was coming on. We were going to talk about... I have to look at the cast. We have so many casts. I can't remember all the guests and all the people we've had on. And all
the self-defense agency.
Not George Donnelly, though that was fantastic too. And when we get that posted up, anybody who has not listened to that, definitely listen to that cast. But the guy, it was a couple of weeks prior to that, we were talking about Bitcoins in South America and some other stuff. And I can't remember his name to save my life.
Me neither, but I remember whom you're talking to, yeah. I remember who you're talking about, so yeah, go on.
Yeah, there was that guy. We've had obviously some of the big names: Tom Woods, Bob Murphy, Stefan Molyneux, Jeffrey Tucker. All just great guys to have on. I want to have Jeffrey Tucker on again. He was fun. I want to have all of them on again. They were all fun.
Guys, guess what? I asked Tom Woods the Bizarro Mode question.
His life is complete.
Yeah, one off the bucket list.
He's been really busy though. Tom Woods has.
There have been a couple times where I brought up a book that I'd been reading and or forwarded someone a video and it wanted to say, oh yeah, we interviewed this guy the other day, or just the fact that we didn't, interacted with him. And but I didn't want to go in the whole explanation of the radio show and it would be just such a long story and people would think it's kind of strange.
I like name dropping that I have interviewed a vice president candidate. For the United States of America. That was pretty cool. Yeah. Actually, come to think of it, that ticket got, what, a few million votes, right? Or was it not that many? Was it a million?
I think it was just over a million.
That means a million people should be listening to this podcast right now.
I never thought that any of these, like, the celebrities in the ANCAP and libertarian community would ever want to come on the show. I always figured we'd just get no response to our email or they'd say, oh, we're busy. We're very busy. Like, who the fuck are you guys? And we'd stop emailing. But we've had so many people who are happy to come on the show and want to come back. It's awesome.
It really is great. I think we hit that timing where just liberty media in general has kind of exploded. I've seen so many just podcasts I've never heard of on, like, Stefan Molyneux likes to go on these like no-name shows and just kind of talk to people. I think it's one of the things he likes to do is just get out there and make some content by talking to new folk. And there's so many shows on his podcast list that I've like never heard of. And I have no idea who these people are, but some of them are pretty decent. And I probably should go back and write down the names of these people so we can contact them and bring them on our show or something. But it feels like it's this big collaborative network, not like this competitive media thing that goes on in mainstream media. And Ronald McPaul was busy talking about how his computer has exploded or something.
Can you hear me?
He had a weird near-catastrophic computer thing.
I think I came back.
You're back.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on my old operating system version. It had this weird glitch that it must be something with my... I don't even know at this point. It's happened on two computers in this house where it'll just freeze mid-sentence with like a buzzing noise in the middle of Eternal sentence. And I'm just like, I think I'm not connecting.
Actually, Eternal speaks computer viruses. This is, it's
that's what the fuzz
attack.
Is.
Yes.
I think your internets are leaking into your operating system or something.
Yeah, I was bummed too. It died out because you guys had perfect points for discussion. But yeah, with what Shiny said, just the fact that the community has had so many generous people with their time willing to come on and speak to, you know, whoever we were, just some people from X community on the web or with a show that's existed for so much time. And, you know, at the beginning, it was kind of pure philanthropy. I mean, there was Ian Freeman, you know, somebody asked him, hey, could we get syndicated on the network you're on? And he said, well, talk to me after you guys have been a show for 6 months. You know, like that was his litmus test, the make or break point. And now it's a year and it feels good to kind of be alive and kicking still. And I think there was a turn for the show. I mean, it was very, you know, kind of clear, like you guys were mentioning that, you know, it was kind of like a generosity, a handout for Steph to come on and Ian Freeman and Adam Kokesh to kind of join us and, you know backstory who we were. But there was some turning point where someone said, oh, this Reddit community has a lot of smart people, or that was fun. I don't know what it was. It seemed like maybe around when Stefan Kinsella came on.
I think it's Aniran did it.
When we had a world-renowned intellectual get put down by a teenager from the Decline of State podcast, that turned a couple heads, I think.
New heavyweight champion laying on the SmackDown. Hulk Hogan style.
Yeah, it was like, I'm a producer of the Decline of State podcast, and with all due respect, sir, I disagree. Yeah, that created a little bit of a stir. I think, I mean, you could even kind of feel it. There was a little bit of a buzz. I mean, it was like, oh, okay. I think you see Adam Kokesh posting in Reddit more too. We had
the Fiends posting for a little while. I haven't seen them post recently. I don't know what they're up to. Speaking of which, we're running a little bit low on time. Speaking of Fiends, that's because Wrong Opinion got involved with that and brought them on, and he had something I wanted to read. He sent out I had him write down his thoughts because he can't join us tonight. So I wanted to go through and read that stuff. Let me pull it up really quickly.
Yeah, do read that. It was really good.
Ron, you can pull it up. It's in our email. Like, any of you guys want to read that?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You want to read it? You have to read it in his voice.
In the Wrong Opinion. I have to be wrong the entire time.
Just your opinion. So do you want to read it or?
Oh, I thought you were playing some music. Actually, yeah. No, I'm opening up to get that get it out, and it started playing the Raw Spaghetti song from Eminem. I was like, "What are you doing, Eternal?"
Bring up some dramatic background music. That would be good.
That was like our intro music for the first show.
What was that again?
I don't even remember.
That was I think Zom just like
started
doing
rapping?
Acapella Rocky theme or something.
Oh, you was beatboxing it, huh?
I think.
Oh, right. It was on the outro. Yeah, that was kind of fun. We had to do that the last show for you, I think, when you forgot that Roto wasn't here. So yeah, let's start into it because Dalton or Wrong. Let's go by his Reddit name because that's what we've been doing. It works. He put some effort into today, and we won't fault him for the typos. It has been nearly a full year now since that momentous day in my life when I settled down in a Mumble server and doodadded the intro to Rocky as the beginning to the first episode of an internet podcast composed of a ragtag group of strangers, from the internet, none of whom I really knew. We all gathered in response to a posting from a Redditor, I think this is Eternal, saying that he wanted to start a podcast with other Redditors from the anarcho-capitalist/volunteers community on Reddit. I'll be honest. At the time, I was bored, looking for something to argument or replace my addiction to Civcraft, and I didn't take it seriously. I never thought it would go very far. The differences between participants would end the project, and a couple times I thought my prediction nearly came true, but we're still here. Even when a certain popular radio show host, hailing from New Hampshire, tactically stated that he did not think our group would last longer than 6 months, that was Ian Freeman. That's what he's referring to. It boggles my mind that just because I showed up that day, I've gotten the chance to interview people who influenced my thinking right up to and beyond that point in time. Walter Block, Tom Woods, Robert Murphy, Jeffrey Tucker, and Ben Stone, just to name a few. More importantly, I've gained some unique friends in the world. People from all walks of life, some from different countries. We chat on Facebook or Gmail, sometimes even play that video together. We support each other when one or the other among us is feeling down and out, and we coax each other onto little goals we make for ourselves. I learned some skills from my involvement in Decline to State as well. I learned how to interview people, which is an art of its own. This is true. One of which I by no means am a master, but I think I'm not too shabby at it. I've learned how to network with other people in the Liberty Missions community. And thanks to this skill that was first created out of necessity, I've grown more as a person thanks to my interactions with other people who share my values. There have been sour spots too. A certain utterly failed show, I think we know what he's talking about, done in cooperation with two podcasters whom I greatly admire. I always look back at that and shake my head, knowing that it could have been done better. Period. It was a low spot in my podcasting career and shook my confidence to the point where I considered breaking from the group. It's a good thing I didn't stay angry for long, though. For the past few months, I've been able to host a podcast. That's a low spot, too. I haven't been able to host a podcast, and that's a low spot, too. It's due to necessity. Unfortunately, as well-laid plans were utterly crushed by a former significant other, and I now find myself trapped working nights in a town 45 minutes away. On the bright side, I'm still able to help corral guests and work with fans of the show. I've also found a way around my hosting problem, as I've done two pre-recorded interviews for the show, one of which I still have to produce. I didn't know about this. And I'm new to doing on-the-street interviews with the crappy camera cut audio out whenever I use the lens zoom. So this is how crappy the camera is. And if I could point to a few things to improve on, I think it would be this. One, the speed of our production. So we're gonna run down for future years how we can make it better, and this could be good. The speed of our production. It's understandable that this is slow. We are all volunteers and have life challenges that get in the way. On the other side, though, most of our listeners don't listen live, and when your archive is months out of date, they stop listening, and that's a serious no-no for any podcast. So this makes sense. Number two, promotions and marketing. I think we could probably work on expanding our listenership. Getting a wide fan base is necessary to help necessary steps to sustainability of a podcast and leads into ... I agree with this one. Three, you forgot the question marks wrong. Profit. We put money into this show, but we don't really get any out. I know it's a contentious topic for some among us, which shouldn't be if we're capitalists. But if we want this podcast to really shine, we need to make money, either through donations, advertising revenue, retail partnerships, like with Amazon's click-through thingy, he says. Even if we only made enough to break even on expenses, that would make us all breathe much easier, I think. Who knows? Maybe we'll be able to invest in better equipment for everyone as well. And more content would be number four. We started out, we had nearly 20 interested people, or at least it seemed like 20. Regardless, there's potential to put out more content every week. And then doing a little bit of credit giving, which is always good for an anniversary. I think we should also give credit where credit is due. We wouldn't be able to do it the way we do without Rutto and Shiny's time, skill, and dedication to the knobs and levers that run the voodoo machines, for injecting our orders for world domination into people's ear holes. Thanks, guys. You are fantastic. I'd also like to thank Ron for being so encouraging to me. If it weren't for your kind words from time to time, I would have been demotivated a while ago.
Oh. Hey, you added that part.
No, I'm just reading it now, actually. You're actually seeing hearing a poignant moment for me. I'm kind of caught off guard by this. This whole thing really was Eternal's fault to begin with, so I think he deserves a lot of the blame as well. Sticking the tongue out, face. I regret not being able to join you all tonight for the show, but such are the consequences I think it's a typo here, but I'll fill it in, slave, slage, he actually means that, slage wavery in our day and age. I hope it doesn't remain this way forever. I don't think so. Wrong. You're a talented guy, and you're going to get that Skrilla. You're going to make that money. As I really do miss plopping down at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, getting the chills and tremors that come before you talk to the entire world, and rush off knowing afterwards you did a pretty good job of it all. From the Rust Belt, Wrong Opinion.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, very, very good.
And I should add that in the internal Gmail discussion, Shiny's Jimmies were rustled. There was an image macro with a tear to her eye, and it was, of course, some primate that I can't identify. I think.
Gorilla.
Thank you.
They're all monkeys.
It shares 95% of the same genome as a statist.
And a banana.
Yeah, actually, that was my first time reading it through. I saw that the Jimmies were rustled, and I knew that it was on the slate. So actually, I'm glad we went through it on the show. That was good.
Yeah, plenty. I'm sorry about that. That would be bad.
Yeah, that would be bad. We did manage to get him on other shows he couldn't make to throw his 2-bit sense in. I kind of came in from a computer glitch, and I don't want to derail from where we were, but yeah, I mean, he brings up a good point as far as going forward. There's plenty of room for improvement, and we continue to kind of know each other better and work better together. And it's actually fantastic to be able to draw from the most intelligent, at least in my opinion, community in Reddit, just a huge mass of people who are both encouraging and you know, willing to come in the show and kind of appreciate being able to have, you know, voices to the names or personalities to the names, or I think that's something that Cracker has mentioned too, that you know, even dealing with our early production issues and the production quality and all the audio stuff, it's nice to be able to know that you're not alone, and the community continues to grow and evolve.
Definitely. I wanted to just go over, I guess, maybe a couple things that we have in store for listeners and everybody in the next couple weeks, or hopefully weeks. I don't want to say months. It's already been months. I know we have the website, which is taking shape. It's getting there. I don't know. Shiny or Rutter, do you guys want to like give like a formal update on that, just so everybody knows where we stand, or is it sufficient to say that we are getting there?
So we're slowly getting there. See, the front page is done. We're integrating it into the content management system so that we'll be able to actually have content that you guys, and not just us, but you guys can also edit in the front page. And it looks good, but we're battling some technical hurdles right now. And as the technical hurdles get defeated, which is, you know, not to say that I will defeat them, but I'm reasonably confident that we'll be able to find a solution.
It's just, I will.
See?
she'll supervise you.
We will publish the front page. Don't worry, we'll have an announcement and everything when it's ready to, like, when we're ready to flick the switch and pop the champagne.
Oh,
there better be champagne.
That's amazing. And we even had a listener, a fan, wanted to get involved with the show just through our slow but steady increase in production value and content quality, to kind of oversee the subreddit. The subreddit's something we kind of moved away from, and we can certainly move back to. We used to use it as a launching point for content. But now that we're kind of getting meatier and people are getting interested, there's some interest in having it a kind of post-game discussion area, and that's certainly something that could happen as well.
We could also post gossip about the hosts on that site.
Yeah. Oh man, the day that we appear on TMZ for making fun of status.
I think we've won at that point.
Yeah, checkmate status. Wow, that's a sentence. That's a phrase I've never used before.
So those are some good things coming up. I think there are some more shows that'll be popping up in the archive really shortly. We can publish, and others we can process and then publish. So there's more content coming for those of you who have missed some of the shows recently. And I think, go ahead, Ron.
Oh, I was just gonna say that, you know, I want to second what Wrong said too. Like, we discussed this a little bit, but, and I know LDL can't make it, but any way we can kind of capture the technical savvy with the doodads that Wrong was referring to, and kind of take some of the load off a few people and put it on the many, or even outsource some of the production and still keeping the quality, obviously, or at least we'll do our best, would be big, because it's just, it's such an effort, especially when you have to have a lot of attention to detail and audio quality and remove all those lackadaisical pauses and not the you knows, we have to leave those in, but you know, all that stuff takes work. And being greedy monocle capitalists, we could certainly find ways to go on the web, outsource it, something, make it happen, and hopefully we'll continue to kind of the turnover time to shorten that and make other things better. But it does take work, but I think we're ready for it.
I do want to add, of course, a big thank you to Fredo and Shani for doing most of the tech support stuff, just running the servers and website and basically making the show happen, because otherwise we'd just be a bunch of stupid Redditors sitting in a mumble server talking. It doesn't go out to the internet without them.
We'd die to the first DDoS attack.
Oh, that was bad.
Well, that was bad. 2 days. Well, not 2 days offline, but, you know, it was the better part of 48 hours. That whoever that is, hey, cocksucker, we won.
Oh, my God. If anybody hit the record button on that, that's going to be a soundbite.
Soundboard material.
I think you should just play it and various points in every show. Whenever there's a pause, just insert popular phrases.
Right? Or at some point, he's going to get to the Arnold Schwarzenegger status where there's going to be a program where you can prank call with Roto's Ecuadorian voice. And, you know, like Toast would be the first one to beta test it. And you just, hello, motherfucker. We've won.
That would be hilarious. So I'm going to do, Toast had a really good suggestion for what we can wrap this up with. We need to bizarre mode ourselves.
Oh, God.
We got to do it, man.
We put people on the spot all the time. We never thought it would be turned around. Toast is an ingenious and genius little jerk.
In both the good and bad way. I can start if you'd like.
Please. Gives us time to stall.
Okay.
Oh, God, this is going to be good. This is going to be a hard act to follow.
Morphing into Stratos. Yeah, so anarcho-capitalism will just never work, guys. You can never have a voluntary world because people prefer the sort of soft domination that exists in their families, exists in their schools, exists in their societies. The people naturally gravitate towards domination and getting dominated by people. And so that's why you can never have an anarcho-capitalist society, because people are just going to go to their nearest abuser and sign up. Checkmate.
Checkmate. Oh, God. Can we all end with checkmate? That's gorgeous.
Okay. Oh, gosh. I have to go now. All right. Let's see. Okay. Building, wafting, building. Anarcho-capitalism or voluntarism cannot possibly work because it has nothing to do with reality. You see, in reality, people are not, you know, they're not rational. They're not motivated by your rational, self-motivated, linear thinking. They're motivated by emotions. And you see, you can't have people simply work like robots. There's, you know, what are you going to do about, like, the people who just don't have the good circumstances and stuff, man? You got to think about everybody. And so your system would just benefit, you know, just, you know, the capitalists, and you got to think about the workers, man. You got to think about the poor, what their opportunities are. So state, yeah.
Checkmate.
That was convincing.
Well, I think this idea of an ANCAP radio show is ridiculous. You know, how can you get people together without leadership and direction? There's got to be a manager in charge who says, you do this, you do that. This person speaks now. This person speaks now, like a regular radio show. You think those just come together with a bunch of people getting in a room and they'll just all start talking at the same time? What's that going to sound like? It's ridiculous. And it's the same with society. Unless you have order and direction and things planned out from A to Z, it's not going to work. It's not going to function.
Your bizarre mode was too good. I applaud you.
I tend to... Yeah, it really was. I tend to agree with Bizarro Quash. You do a show with such a fringe idea, with such an idea that is so occult, that takes so much learning and background in economics and philosophy and just interpersonal interactions and everything that has to do with society. It's consigned to such a small group. There's only, say, even 11,500 people on the web now. You can't grow an audience. People will not want to listen to that. If people know that you have views of anarchy, if you want to take away their free stuff, you know, tell them that the world that they live in does not make sense. If as it's constructed, that tell them that they are violent to make them face the things that they don't want to face. If you want to point them out to that indoctrination and make it savvy, make it colorful, make it something that they'd want to listen to, that's not going to happen. Your show cannot grow. You are going to be consigned to your community, and that's it. And you're going to be a fringe group forever. Checkmate. I just died a little bit on the inside.
My soul. All right, Rhoda.
Me? But you're next. But it's very hard. What do I do?
Should talk about how archons are great and you should like beat children or something.
Nah, here's the problem. You don't understand, man. You're an idiot. You don't understand. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with your stupid ideology. Do you think that people are going to, you know, get together and collaborate with our government? Are you crazy? But government is collaboration. You don't understand. Government is us. When government decides for us, right? It's us deciding because we elected those people who are approving laws to protect us. You understand? And without these laws, there'll be chaos. Dogs and cats having sex on the streets. Pedophilia everywhere. People having sex with cars. It's crazy. And you just want children to die because you know, without taxes, how will the roads build themselves? Do you think roads build themselves alone? Like automatically, they just build themselves? And if you don't want people who have free healthcare, you want people to die. And that's why your ideology is horrible. And you should be made to shut up. You don't deserve to be talking. So shut up.
Checkmate, anarchists.
Oh my god. And that comes from a lot of experience. That's probably the amalgamation of every person on Reddit who's yelled that at him.
I just was going to say that. Yeah, it's like everything rolled together. Man.
Oh man, that's funny. I like, so James Carlin's actually joined us in chat here, and he's saying, if you don't vote, you can't talk. But if you vote and you lose, you can't talk.
And if you vote and you win, you can't talk because you got what you voted for.
Obviously, yeah.
Can't win, man. Can't win.
Shiny, you got one, or are you working through the person you're handling?
Well, I've got to say, guys, this anarcho-capitalism, it's a great idea in theory, but you leave out the whole history of the human race, wherein there was never equality in the past. People treated each other brutally, abusively, in a dominant, various kinds of violence and dominance have marred history. And we can't simply allow people to be free and do whatever they want because the society that we will have will be one that's based on that history of dominance and that history of violence. What we need is to reverse the flow of dominance and construct a society where minority groups and women rule over white men and govern them.
Hey, this is supposed to be bizarre.
A couple of millennia in order to balance things out. And then I think we could perhaps talk about starting one of these voluntarist societies. What do you think?
Hey, you could be a political leader. I could see you giving speeches, you know, of that character. You should do that. That would be great. You'd have an alter ego, and you'd develop a following, and maybe get elected to local office, and then, you know, at some point, say, "Oh, I was just kidding. I'm an ANCAP. You guys are crazy."
Do you guys remember?
Checkmate, anarchists.
Do you remember, just like as an extreme throwback, when we were testing the call-in system, when Shiny called in with her feminist character?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That was actually one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. If we have that, I just need to go and find it. It needs to be soundboarded.
One of the negative, the negative episode zero or negative one, a couple of those are not public, but they exist.
Yeah, they're not published, but they're on the site. So if you have admin privileges, you can download them.
I frequently have nightmares that sometime in the very far future, some archaeologist will discover that, and it will be the only remaining indicator of my existence will be this clip where I insist that I'm from SRS and that the entire show is an abomination and whatever said.
What was the name? Sally Ray Smith, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
That's great.
Oh, I forgot something in my status impersonation, of course. I forgot this. It's just, how could I forget this? Spanking is okay because my mom spanked me and I turned out okay.
You don't seem that okay, Reto.
Nah, man. You see, children need to grow up with consequences. And if you don't hit them, then they'll never learn consequences. Like,
obviously,
you know, a car could kill them. So you have to hit them because otherwise they won't understand that a car can kill them.
Yeah. Correct.
That makes sense.
Children are stupid when they're born. And only through the power of the hand and the stick and the belt is the only way that intelligence gets injected in their brains. Right.
See, or the wrench.
Correct.
Or the sledgehammer. Well,
that's when you need a real heavy dose of intelligence, right?
It's dodge like wrench, when dodge ball. When you face the big boss at the end of the video game, and normally, you know, your normal attacks don't get through to him, you have to stun him first in order for anything you do to sink in. It's the same with children.
And then the rule of three applies. You have to hit him three times for the KO. All right, so let's save a little bit more for the after show. It's not a problem at all that we ran a little bit later because this was an anniversary, and Toast had the brilliant idea to get the bizarre mode in, and now the status have more ammunition, so that's good. So that being the case, it's quite a bit after 2300 hours Eastern Standard Time and 2000 Pacific status. It's been a lot of fun, and again, thanks all around. This is probably, I don't know, I feel like it's going to be a memorable show, and hopefully next year we can look back on it and say, oh man, that year one anniversary was super rudimentary.
I think that's one of the true marks of success, to be able to look back at what you did previously and say, God, that was terrible.
It's a nice way to feel good about something that was terrible.
Keep Obama in present, you know. He gave us a phone. He's going to decline to state year two. You too can continue to decline to state as we continue to feel all the feels as on either Decline FM or on iTunes. I would like to remind you that Decline to State is still brought to you free of charge, as well as paid advertisement free. Soon, we hope to have a Bitcoin donation link up and running for those interested in helping to keep the servers running, the website developing, and the show going. Now, more than ever, I would like to thank our tech experts. People mentioned Shiny and Reto. Again, I'm going to emphasize that. Our researchers, contributors, listeners, and all the guests have come on the show. And of course, our home community, you know the one. Decline to State is a group effort motivated by our love of liberty, as well as capitalist bow ties and free market monocles. So remember, when asked, always decline to state. This is Ron with Paul saying thanks, everybody.
This is Eternal. Thank you all for a great year, and hope the next one's just as good.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. This was Toast.
This is Kwashi Orkor, and I'm really thinking about that firehouse in Detroit.
This is Roto, and I hope to see you here next year, guys. Have a great day.
And this is Shiny. Thank you all for listening to another year that's a lot better than the first year.
Oh,